Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Tell me what's the
word, I'll wait up. I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
One of my favorites. This is Wretched Radio. No, not whinging. That's one of my favorite words, too. I go through little phases where particular words get stuck in my noggin, and whinging is one of them. I think it's a British word that means whining. It sounds so onomatopoetic. Quit your whinging. It just sounds like what it's describing, complaining. That's one of my favorite words. But another these days would be censorious or censoriousness. It is to have a critical spirit. Dare I say a hypercritical spirit? I think we're always supposed to be Bereans. So I don't think that we should just use the word critical as if it's a pejorative. We should be critical, but we shouldn't be hypercritical. We shouldn't be unnecessarily critical. I just made a couple of YouTube videos about that. You can check it on the YouTube machine. I think it's a trend that's been going on in evangelicalism for far too long, that we just nitpick stuff to pieces with very little charity. Nick Batzig, writing in First Five, right, Feeding on Christ. That's what I said, feedingonchrist.com. Describing a censorious spirit based on Jonathan Edwards' book, Charity and Its Fruits. Charity and its fruits. Question. I'll ask me, you ask you. Are you a charitable person? I'm not talking about writing up big checks. Are you charitable? In other words, are you willing to overlook? Are you willing to offer grace where it isn't warranted? Are you willing to not look at the bad and condemn quickly? Are you willing to be charitable? You know, maybe there's another side to the, hey, I only heard a part of the conversation, so I really can't say. So let's just trust that. That is to be charitable. Jonathan Edwards wrote a book about it because it's not just 21st century where we can be censorious and lack charitableness. That's a human propensity. We like it, don't we? This is why Entertainment Tonight is still on the air. It's still doing the... John Tesh wrote that theme song. I just saw a commercial that had John Tesh in it. It wasn't Entertainment Tonight. Was it American Idol? I think he wrote that song. Yeah, I think it is American Idol. The point is, John Tesh was in a commercial. And I didn't know that he was still alive, because if I'm not mistaken, he just had a really big battle with cancer. So I was happy to see the fellow, and he was very happy, obviously, because of the royalties he was getting for that bad boy. These shows proliferate. There's all kinds of entertainment shows. There's still gossip rags. They're social, whether it's electronic or at the grocery store. We like it. We like it. We like to stand in judgment. I think it is just a part of our flesh, not our human nature. Remember, you and I as Christians, we have a new nature. We're a new creation. We don't have dualistic natures. I got the old nature and I got the new nature. No, you've got a new nature and your flesh. That's why Paul repeatedly uses that word. I haven't found any place where Paul has said your old nature. He describes it as your flesh. That is why we war against the world, not our old nature, the flesh and the devil. And one of the wars that we should be embarking on is to not be censorious. Let's see if this treatise from Jonathan Edwards can help us not be what we are inclined to be. He offers three ways wherein a censorious spirit or a disposition of uncharitably, wherein a censorious spirit or a disposition uncharitably to judge others consists. Wow! Writing changes, doesn't it? And this is an encouragement. I think I'm sticking with this. I made this prophecy. I made this prophecy. Okay, I'm just guessing about the future here. I think that people will look back on us and say the same thing we say about guys like Jonathan Edwards. They just wrote better. Well, grammar changes. Word structure changes. Yeah, there can still be high and low grammar, but nevertheless, it just changes. So while I think we should strive to be good grammarians, to construct sentences well, and use better word choices than we're inclined to, I don't know that we should pistol whip ourselves, because I think in 100 years, people are going to read our stuff and go, whoa, they just seem smarterer. Here are the three ways to know if you're censorious. First, a censorious spirit appears in a forwardness to judge ill of others' states. Here's what he wrote. Persons are guilty of censoriousness in condemning others' spiritual state when they condemn them for those failings which they see in them, which are no greater than, are often incident to God's children. In other words, kind of standard fare. It's like, doesn't every Christian do that? I'm not dismissing it like it's a, like sin is a, not a big deal. But I think we all recognize we're still sinning, right? We're simul justus et peccator. And so Christians sin. And the censorious one sees that sin. Oh, look at them. And jumps all over it. Let me just try to give a demonstration. So I saw this guy claims to be a Christian. His right sideburn. Oh, mangled it to pee. I mean, it's like, what happened there, pally boy? Some Christian shaver you are, I thought to myself. Although I failed to recognize that I've done the same thing. Basically, what I'm trying to sneak in is that Jimmy sure did hack himself.
Sure did.
You got one of the best beards on the planet.
You know, today I was grateful to work in radio.
No, they would just have to turn the camera to just shoot your left side.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So, yeah, I didn't check to see if the guard was on my beard trimmer.
Uh-huh.
And one of my kids had apparently borrowed it without putting the guard back on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, went to hacking.
All right, so I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you respond to said son?
Well, I didn't really say anything to him. He was asleep when I did it. And so
he didn't hear you yelling?
I didn't yell.
Oh, that's good.
I was so in shock. My mouth dropped open and I thought, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I had one of those haircuts once. And it was at one of those frilly fancy places. and the girl is in the back and she's got the trimmer, and she, maybe it was a cheap place, whatever. And she's, you know, doing the thing on the neckline, and all of a sudden I hear like, and she swore.
Oh,
I'm in trouble. She calls the manager over, but then calls other stylists over, because that's what they are there, stylists, to examine my head. And the consensus was, nah, we can't fix this. Out the door I went. And I had to pay for it. Jimmy, you did yours for free.
I did.
That is a, now imagine knowing that I do the same thing. Or imagine, it's something that just isn't all that uncommon for Christians, to be condescending. Oh, really? I need to talk to other people about this. Or maybe we fail to remember, I do the same thing. And then I criticize. That is somebody who's censorious. Or you condemn others as those who must needs be carnal men for differing from them in opinion on some points which are not fundamental. Let me put that in the vernacular of the peasantry. You criticize people over stuff that you don't need to pick to pieces. It's not fundamental. And honestly, this one right there, that particular point from Edwards, that is, I think, the biggie of our day. We need to understand theological triage. We need to understand open-handed, close-handed issues. And we need to recognize there are differences in the body on some of these things, not the essentials. And that I shouldn't go to war. And so often these days, it's over political and social issues that we're dividing people who have a different perspective. Okay, let's just say, for instance, the conversation about Israel and Iran. You've got an opinion about Israel. I hope it's the right one that I have. But let's just say it differed. We're going to be able to get along. I see people breaking up all the time over issues like this. Now, that's an issue. I grant you, it is theological, but it doesn't rise to the level of an essential doctrine, does it? It doesn't hit the, we're dealing with a heretic level, does it? And yet, we're so quick to hear somebody who disagrees on something like that and hack on them or separate from them. And Jonathan Edwards is saying, then you're censorious and you're not being charitable. And now, I don't like it when people say it's to downplay the necessity of theology and accuracy and being a Berean. When we get to heaven, we're all going to recognize just how off we are in our theology. I don't like it because it opens the door to laziness. But it's probably to a degree true, isn't it? That we're going to be in heaven with some people who maybe have some differences of opinion with us on non-essential issues. Are you? Am I? Charitable or censorious? This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jonathan Edwards will bring the paper cut. I have the lemon juice. This is Wretched Radio. This might sting a little bit. It did to me when I read Jonathan Edwards' treatment of charity and its fruits, a book dedicated to the subject of being charitable, not compromising, not squishy. There's a difference. Being charitable is something that we are supposed to be biblically. We are to put the best construction on things. We are to consider, hey, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes. And maybe, just maybe, this will reveal the importance and necessity of being charitable. When Jonathan Edwards makes his way, he basically has three categories, three ways to know if you're censorious. And one of them, he talks about not knowing stuff or considering stuff about the other person. You don't know about their education. You don't know about their upbringing. They say something and you don't give that any regard or consideration or hopeful thought that maybe there's something lurking behind it that has caused them to say or do or believe that. And this plays its way out in your home. For instance, you're married and your spouse seems to battle a sin, and they're not having complete victory over the sin. And maybe you judge that pretty severely. In that moment, you and I are being censorious. Why? Because we are not doing what Edwards said, and that is to consider what's going on. I can't recall who created this list, but three things you don't know when your spouse is losing to sin. Here's what you don't know. You don't know how hard he or she is battling. You don't know. Second, you do not know how strong the temptation is, because they vary, don't they? Certain people are prone to certain sins. That's just our fallen DNA makeup. Not everybody has the particular, like, lying isn't like a big deal for us. It's like they just don't. Some people, they just feel like, I can't help myself. Okay, you don't know that about them. Now, we know that they can help themselves, but my point is you don't know how strong the temptation is. Third, you don't know how you might respond in the exact same circumstances and situation. If you had what he or she has, the propensity for, the strength of this particular struggle, you don't know how you'd respond. So when we get a little bit condescending, maybe a little bit short, because they keep doing that thing, we're not being charitable. This has great application. This isn't just social media charitability. This isn't just discussing theological issues. This is all of life. And by the way, not understanding and trying to understand and fight for charitability, which is different than compromise. Compromise is a different thing. Compromise is to go, well, I guess it doesn't matter if Jesus is fully God, fully man. That's different than saying, you know, I understand how you can struggle with 100% God, 100% man. That appears to be bad math, but it is good theology. There's a big difference, isn't there? We are to be a charitable people without being a compromising people. And Jonathan Edwards, who inflicts a number of cuts, permit me to pour lemon juice on top of them. You judge somebody illly because you observe in them that you don't observe in them their natural temper or their manner of education or other peculiar disadvantages under which they labor. Do you ever consider where this might be coming from? Why they're saying, doing, or believing that? Probably not being charitable. Second, a censorious spirit appears in disposition to judge ill of others' qualities, to see the worst in them. Quote from Edwards, some men are very apt to charge others with ignorance and folly and other contemptible qualities which in no way deserve to be esteemed by them. We entertain a very low and despicable opinion of others and then share that with other people, when a charitable spirit would discern many good things in them. In other words,
don't just see the bad thing. See the other stuff. How far have they advanced? Are they maturing at all? And even if it's not to what you think or what your experience has been, God does it differently with all of us. The pacing of the Holy Spirit in the sanctification process is different for all of us. And if we look at somebody who's not doing it the exact same way we did, then we got to be careful that we're not being censorious and spreading it. Some are ready to charge others with those morally ill qualities from which they are free. Oh, there's another territory that is treacherous. Whatever sin that the Holy Spirit has given you the strength to overcome becomes the sin by which you judge others most severely. Why? I don't know, but it does indicate a spirit of censoriousness. I don't do that. How can you do that? How can you still? I can't believe it. Just because I've overcome it, I shouldn't have the same expectation of everybody else. Yeah, I want them to overcome it. But just because I have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that I should look down on somebody else. Maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't even put it high on the queue yet. Then he just, okay, here's it. So many political issues are this way. People just don't think about it. They don't think through immigration policy. They don't think through tariffs. And just because I've got it sorted, I've got it under control, doesn't mean that I should be like, oh man, I don't believe you don't have this figured out. Finally, a censorious spirit appears in a disposition to judge ill of others' words or actions. Quote, a suspicious, jealous spirit, whereby persons are apt to be jealous of others, of their being guilty of such and such things when they have no evidence of it, is an uncharitable spirit. And contrary to Christianity, might that be your paper cut? You're jealous, so you criticize. You find something, you just find a little bit of a hole in the hull of their ship, and you go after it because, well, you kind of wish that you had their ship. I'm not sure that illustration worked out, but I think you get the point. In conclusion, very commonly, persons show a very uncharitable and censorious spirit with respect to others by being forward to take up bad reports of persons. I knew it. That is, I knew that Jimmy was a bad person for hacking his right sideburn to pieces. Wow, that's a gash you got going on. See, here's again what I should be doing with Jimmy. 98% of your beard looks amazing, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But I can't stop staring at that 2% where you really dug in there on that sideburn, buddy boy. Merely hearing a flying ill report of a person is far from being sufficient evidence against persons that they've been guilty of that which is reported. And by the way, that applies to headlines in your news feed. Don't know what your news sources are, but let's be honest. I think we all recognize this by now. Everybody has a slant. It could be a good bent or a bad bent, but everybody does have an angle and they're bringing their position to bear. It's no longer news. It's to get you perhaps agitated at the other side. And so you'll read a headline that just smacks somebody. And especially when it happens to be a politician with whom we disagree. I can't remember which one. But it was some headline. Oh, I don't remember exactly what the story was, but it was about Hillary Clinton. And it was like, yeah, there she goes, murdering people again. That's another one that's on the Clinton hit list. That basically, that's the headline elicited that kind of response. That's what it was trying to create inside of you. Then I read the article. Then I did something crazy. I went and read the entire quote in context, and it wasn't at all what she was saying. It wasn't even ripped totally out of context. And yet, if I just believed a fleeting report, if I just consumed a headline without being critical or charitable, believe me, I have no problems piling on Hillary Clinton. I think that she is the woman that ELO was singing about in the 70s. She's an evil woman. No problem saying that. But I still don't want to just receive a headline or a glancing report and add to my criticisms. And the same thing is true most certainly with a brother or sister. Quote, it is a very common thing for persons to pass a judgment on others with no foundation. How are you doing? How are you doing? And I think that perhaps the level of struggle would be an indicator as to how you're doing. Is this a subject that you've considered? Have you ever been willing to examine yourself on the subject of censoriousness? Is it a battle for you to be charitable without compromising? Are you even in that game? If not, might I encourage you to let Jonathan Edwards sting you so that you can be what God wants us to be, charitable without being censorious and compromising. Hey, that was Southern Baptist. That was three C's right there. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.